Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of Freedom from Addiction, Truth, Trust, Below the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show. And I'm excited to welcome to the program Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you? And we have a really great topic today.
Yeah, Neil. We're going to talk about the question, is lying about COVID protected by U.S. law? And our guest today is Mark Hayden. This will be Mark's ninth show on this network, and I would suggest that you go back and listen to the previous ones because lots of good information. Mark, you've been on many times, and they probably know your credentials, but just run that by for people that this is their first time.
Well, when I was 24, I graduated from UAB Medical School. When I was 25, I was licensed to practice, and I currently hold a licensed practice in Alabama and Georgia. I practiced ER intermittently for almost 30 years, but during those 30 years, I was largely devoted to patent research in different areas, doing scientific research. And I do have, I think it's 4 or 5 patents, something like that. And one of the things that sets me apart is that I believe in the legal process, people having civil rights, and I've been familiar with immunity issues. And when we talk about immunity issues is, do you get to prosecute people for telling dishonest truth, lying to you? And, you know, one of the things we come up with is, why doesn't the American public trust the FDA? And there's some real reasons for that. So at any rate, we'll get into the show today. You asked me for my background, right.
A couple of preliminary questions that I had that I'd like for you to explain what you think is, you see all these statistics every day on the news, and this day after day after day after day, and they're telling us that more and more people per day are getting COVID and more people are dying. And I'm not sure that this is truthful information. And so one of my first questions would be, what does it take to put yourself on the chart as far as being a COVID case?
Really, it means when they report a COVID death, it means that the state health department had recorded that that person had COVID within the recent past. And actually, they don't even define how the recent past is. For instance, if I have a positive COVID test by rapid swab, and if I'm shot or have a car wreck, or maybe I have a subarachnoid hemorrhage that bursts, that will still be classified as a COVID death, even though it's totally unrelated to, it was not caused by COVID. So there's a difference between being associated with a positive COVID test and being killed by coronavirus. A huge difference.
So what you're saying is these figures that are scaring everybody in the country of how many COVID deaths we're having in the last 24 hours, that's highly exaggerated?
They're not accurate reflection of how many deaths COVID is causing. And we get into a spin zone by the entire FDA and CDC, because the spin has always been to magnify as much as possible the death rate to promote basically social control. And
Okay, so in your opinion, the actual figures we're seeing on television are not accurate, right?
That's correct.
And so another question I have is, what does it take to be a COVID case, not a death, but a case. What's the minimum requirement necessary for them to say, we had 1,000 new COVID cases today?
The cases are actually reported by the state health departments. We have all about 50 states, and those states will report. But what the definition of a case is that COVID was found, the COVID antigen, either a positive rapid antigen test or a PCR test, was found to suggest an abnormal result consistent with the presence of COVID. But the PCR tests were not standardized. And to my knowledge, I don't know that they're still standardized. You know, how many multiplications, how they may overcount using PCRs. And we still don't have an accurate number of how much COVID is really out there, basically.
So
or was out there.
So to be a COVID case, the minimum is that you have to have a positive test, right?
That's correct.
And
yeah,
positive test is, there are lots and lots of false positives. So just saying that you've got a positive test does not mean that you've got COVID disease.
Absolutely. That's exactly correct.
Okay. So in the first case, we've got people thinking that the caseload is going up tremendously, that hundreds of thousands of people are being infected. And the basis for that is that they've got a test that says they could have COVID, but it doesn't prove COVID, right?
That's correct.
And then,
once you
get that on your record, if you die from anything, they're calling you a COVID death.
You got it. You figured it out. That's
right. Mark, I've heard this before. What is the proof? Why is that not coming out in more places? I've heard it from different people that say this is happening. So let's just say you die of a car wreck, but you are tested positive for COVID. They're going to relate it as a COVID death. Where's the proof in all this? I mean, that this is happening.
Really, what has happened, our media is consolidated. And there was we used to have the media that was diversely owned, and there was laws in the United States to prevent media from being consolidated. Now the media is very consolidated within about 6 corporations. These corporations hand in glove with corporations that really control the United States. So it is a corporate media. And so we will have, you know, and this goes back to the president. We'll have the president announce this. He has, quote, lost the election the next day after the election, when there's never been an electoral college vote. The media begins to control the narrative, and the media is actually controlled by the financial interest. It's not controlled by local physicians in the community. It's not controlled by the people. This ultimately comes down to about controlling social control through corporate controlled media that is very consolidated.
So we have media, in some cases, telling us lies. And the question that this program is to talk to is lying about COVID protected by law in the United States? And you said that it is. If Pfizer, for example, wants to lie about their vaccine, so that they can give more doses and make more money, you can't touch them. Is that right?
That's exactly correct. That's correct. And
So if you put on one side the ability to make millions and billions of dollars, and on the other side not having to tell the truth about what you're doing, that comes to me as a very moral issue, something that we should stand up against.
Well, then they complain that people don't trust the media. Should you ever trust a messenger when the messenger is protected from dishonest statements and he has an incentive to lie? In circumstances like that, you don't trust the messenger. You know, and then they marvel that the American public does not trust the message. Well, you know, people are just not that stupid. They have learned not to trust people who have incentives to lie and that are protected from any false statements they make. People have at least some intelligence. They're not totally naive.
Yeah, I mean, so I wanted to just, when in the proof of this protected, where does it say that you can lie about COVID, the medical people like Fauci and all these, where is that protected in the law? Yeah.
Here's how you get to that. When all the Pfizer studies were done, it is Pfizer that provides that information. And remember when these Pfizer emergency protocols were done, they had convinced the world that all people might die off and that emergency procedures were necessary. You know, we've added like $8 trillion to the U.S. budget. One of the things that they gave these people was false statements are totally protected. They have immunity from all civil prosecution as well as discovery. Let's say there was a document out there that either Pfizer or Moderna or any of the companies had that were involved in Operation Warp Speed. Guess what? If that document showed that it was harmful or that it wasn't effective, that document can just be shredded. There is no responsibility to the people. They're given absolute immunity. It's the same thing as when U.S. contractors were sent into Iraq and began shooting people. Guess what? They're given immunity too. And that's what happens when you give people immunity. That is the best analogy I have for you is this. We've all heard of the snitch from prison who says so-and-so confessed a crime. He's given a sentence his sentence may be waived or reduced. And he gets on the stand and he says, hey, so-and-so said this. But the problem with that is that he had an incentive to lie. And what the jury is often not understand is he will never be prosecuted civilly. And he won't be prosecuted criminally because he serves the political powers that be. So there is no prosecution of any of these people. In the recent Senate bill, they expand immunity protections for the vaccine programs. How does that work? Let's say a hospital in your area begins to give vaccines. And let's say that a hospital on the second round noticed that 10% of the people were fainting and passing out. And yet it kept on giving it day after day and week after week. Ordinarily, we in the community would sue our local hospital. That will not happen because that hospital has immunity under the expanded immunity protections. So even if 99% of the people died when getting the second shot, the hospital cannot be held liable for giving the shot. Does that make sense? That is what immunity is all about. People don't understand. Oh, guess what? That's what they meant by immunity. That's what they mean by immunity protections. That's right. And that's
so what we've got here is a product or a number of products that have a tremendous ability to make tremendous amount of money, and nobody can effectively either through a deposition or a civil lawsuit do anything about it. So they have no inherent reason not to do whatever they think is in their best interest to make as much money as possible.
You got it. You figured that one out. And you know, when you were a doctor, you are a doctor. I'm still a doctor. I still see patients. One of the things that we advise people, but we don't advise people when we have a conflict of interest. And when we have a conflict of interest and we do advise people, we are at risk by a jury finding us, investigating us, getting discovery and taking our assets. That is not going to happen with any of these vaccine companies. It's not going to happen with the CDC. It's not going to happen with the hospitals. And so guess what? They were given immunity protections, which have never applied to medicine, all because this is what the pandemic that would end the world or no. I mean, and then they wonder why people don't trust them. Is that right? It's a who in their right mind would trust somebody who has an incentive to lie, but is protected from lying, from any kind of civil prosecution? It's, you know, have we given up on the jury system to determine facts? This is what we've come to, is that we've got to turn, they expect people to just turn over all their trust to the central authority. I don't need to judge that. That's the way they can ask. Anybody can trust whoever they want. People can trust in Santa Claus if they want. But the nice thing about Santa Claus doesn't have an incentive to lie. If he doesn't exist, but
right. If he did, so it's all about big money at the end of the day. That's all.
That's right. That's right. It's about big money. And once all that money comes in, and especially when you give it immunity, the truth, it's like you will never find it. That's what's sad.
Well, we started off by saying that the way that you get a diagnosis of COVID is through a test that's not accurate. And then once you get that on your chart, doesn't really make any difference what you actually die from. You're called a COVID fatality. And using that, you can scare the population into letting the interests that want to scare them get away with anything to make any amount of money and not have to have any legal repercussions. And that's horrible. Now, let's talk about what they are proposing now. They're proposing that everybody in the country get a vaccine. And are they lying about the fact that there's no serious complications? Are they lying about the fact that they don't know? Are they lying about anything and everything in order to get this vaccine distributed into the population? And what happens if 5 years from now, you find out that because you took this vaccine, you're going to be paralyzed? I'm not saying that that's the case, but things are stranger than that have happened before with vaccines. And so you're giving up your freedom, your right, based on no good scientific background. And I find that horrible.
That's exactly right. You know, when we made decisions in this country, we were entitled, we should have been entitled to fair, honest information, where the people who provide that information are responsible and can be civilly prosecuted if they lie to us. That is not the current situation. And that is why people do not trust the current CDC, FDA, big pharma system. Does that make, and that's it.
Yeah. What do you think, Neil?
I just think it's, but again, there's no proof all this way. We could say all this stuff. We could say, yeah, we do know this, but half the American people will not believe you guys at all.
Yeah. But you know, remember when Johnson & Johnson came out and they had a memo that was discovered decades later that linked ovarian cancer to talcum powder. We won't find those memos. Johnson & Johnson wasn't given immunity. But if they had, all you got to do is go over and put it through the shredder. How can you blame any Pfizer employee or any Moderna employee for destroying evidence of misconduct when they're not held liable for it. They are for-profit companies. That's what they do. They're just doing what their nature is. But you can say, hey, guess what? My country chose to give them immunity. And how can you blame, once you give people immunity, can you rely on their statements? No, you can't. We've never operated that way as a, that's not the way society is supposed to run. And that's why there's no trust. And we do not know, you know, it may turn out the only way you will know what side effects are is what you witness. When you have young people that are middle-aged and 18, 19, 20, when they go get a vaccine that is a messenger RNA vaccine, where we do not know what the long-term side effects are because it's never been used in thousands or millions of young people. And we've never used it for longer. It's certainly never even been given to young people or middle-aged people. Those people have life expectancies of, you know, you'd hope they'd live at least 30, 40, 50 years when they're 30 years old. Do we know what the effects are going to be on their immune system? We don't. There's 100 autoimmune diseases. Do we know how that's going to affect it? Nope. Hey, guess the only way you as an individual will ever probably know is to wait and just wait and find out. That's a rough way to learn. And, you know, could I even blame my own children for lying to me if they have an incentive to lie and they don't get punished for lying? It doesn't work that way. My children, you know, I got some nice children, but my children do lie to me when it's in their best interest and they have no signs of punishment. That's kind of human nature. I got to accept it is what it is.
These vaccines that they are promoting as a result of scaring the population into thinking that if they don't take them, they and the rest of the country will die, which probably is not the truth, but they can't prove it because you can't take these companies to court. What do we know? What has been proven so far about these RNA vaccines? In other words, is there any proof that if you take one, you won't get COVID or you won't transmit COVID?
There's no proof that it stops transmission. And here's the frightening thing. The FDA, if it was, well, I need to not be so critical. The FDA could have instructed Pfizer to find out whether it did affect mucosal antibodies. It could have measured mucosal antibodies. It didn't. So it doesn't know whether it affects transmission or not. And they're actually instructing the people that get the Pfizer vaccine that they are still required to wear their face mask. Guess what? I guess you'd call it intestinal inoculation numerous times. And for the last 6 months, I get around live COVID patients that breathe in my face. And they breathe in my face without a mask. I'm not afraid of it. I don't get sick. Pfizer vaccine people don't do that. They don't trust that. The other thing you can do is the Pfizer people are not stupid. They're smart and they're trying to represent the needs of their stockholders, which they should. So when they set up the Pfizer vaccines studies, they did not include a lot of old high-risk people because they weren't confident in their vaccine preventing death. And they didn't want to have any deaths in the test group. What was important for both Pfizer and Moderna is to take this new messenger RNA technology and to push it out there before it was proven. They were kind of in a chicken before the egg. If you don't get it out there in millions of people, how will you prove it safe? You can never prove it's safe until it's been out a long time. And, you know, you may have friends that want to get Pfizer. The only way in which they see is, do you know some friends who got it and they do okay with the second round of shots? They should have limited expectations. They may have less symptoms. They might have less symptoms of COVID, but it hasn't been proven to stop COVID deaths. And they are still transmissible. Is the vaccination from COVID equal to natural immunity? Absolutely not. We know that if you get, Neil, you had a community acquired, your family members had a community acquired COVID. You know that they are told that they are no longer transmissible within 9 to 10 days after their first symptom. Okay? They told you that, right? Hey, guess what? Go back out in the community. You're not transmissible. That was well established. With Pfizer, 30 days after your first shot, you get your shot, the second Pfizer shot, after 21 days. But even 30 days, you don't get to go out. You're still potentially transmissible and must still wear a mask. You are not equal in immunity. Those are two totally separate methods, intramuscular versus mucosal. The vaccine companies had billions of dollars, billions and billions. The CDC swallows huge tax dollars. And yet, do we hear Fauci coming on and trying to explain the difference between intestinal immunity and mucosal immunity? We don't. You can even find out how toxic stuff is by keep giving it to some people or monkeys. You know, that Pfizer had a monkey study, and they gave their monkeys two sets of shots. What you want to see is, hey, Pfizer, let's push it to the limit. Give those, not two sets, let's see if you can give them a third, a fourth, a fifth, and sixth shot. Let's see how many sets of shots we can give before, so we can see how toxic this stuff is. We do that all the time with drugs. It's called the LD50. How much of a particular drug can you take before you get really sick or really die? But from common sense, we know that if you can tolerate a lot of stuff, then a little bit won't hurt you real bad. We know that somebody who drinks two beers a day, one day for a year or 3 years, you're not going to die if you just drink two beers a day for a week. We pretty much can figure that out from common sense. Hey, guess what? Pfizer never ran long-term studies to see what the toxicity was, and they could have. But it wasn't about knowing what toxicity was for Pfizer. It was about getting the right to vaccinate millions of people and with a new type of messenger RNA. And, you know, if I was a Pfizer stockholder, which I'm not, I would think, hey, that's just Jim Dandy, you know. But if you look at Pfizer stock, look at their stock price. Is their stock price going up or going down? It's going down. A lot of people in the market are not that stupid. They are waking up to the fact you can deceive some of the people some of the time, but you can't keep all of them stupid all of the time. And you're seeing this Pfizer stock price going down. That's right. I think it's 42, 43 was the high, and it's down by about 15% now. So, you know, these are, and then they act like you're a nut job if you don't trust them.
It's all Mark, given all that we've talked about, what has been proven to a reasonable person's satisfaction is the advantage of taking a vaccine?
Currently, the Pfizer vaccine, and I see why Moderna will be any better than Pfizer. It's another messenger RNA. Yeah. Some people, 30 days, that's 7 days after the second shot, which really puts you out at about 28 days. 28 days after the first shot, if you get the second shot on the 21 days, so you'd be a week after that, you may have reduced COVID symptoms.
Well, when you say may,
that's not proven. Yes.
Yeah, when you say may, that's not proven. What I want to know is, what is the proven reason to take that vaccine? What has been proven that it's going to do for you or for the community?
Very little. Almost nothing. You'll help support industry. How's that? You could donate your body to research if you happen to die after COVID, which would be your second immunization, but we won't have, no, I mean, I don't know. We don't have good enough research. Remember, this is authorized emergency use authorization. So really you're accepting that under normal circumstances, this never would have been allowed. That's pretty much it. And the CDC position is that something was better than nothing. The problem with that state, that philosophy by the CDC and the FDA, the only some things that they were willing to investigate was what would generate the most money for Wall Street and their friends at the CDC.
And I have researched the early use of hydroxychloroquine with doctors who actually give it in their clinics early on before the patient gets sick. And practically 100% of them don't get sick and don't go to the hospital and don't die. And yet the media and the scientific community and says that we shouldn't use this drug. To me, that's ridiculous. I can see proof from what happens actually when people do get it. And I'm not suggesting that they get it late after they get in the hospital, after their blood CO2s, PO2s have gone down and they're dying. No, it's not going to do any good then. But early on, it will. And there was one immunologist that said, from a respected medical school, he said, if this drug was used across the board, we could be out of this pandemic in 30 days. And why was it not used? Because it only costs about $12, $13 a treatment, and all the rest of the treatments cost hundreds or thousands of dollars. And so, therefore, they're not interested in finding out about something that's not going to make any money. Sad situation.
And it really boils down to trust. You have trust in the community with your physician. We had physicians in the community that, based on their clinical decision, their clinical experience, made decisions on behalf of patients. What the FDA and the vaccine companies have done is to eliminate those physicians. So the vaccines are not prescribed by your local doctor. That means your local doctor doesn't need to study the information. And should your local doctor see that there's way too many side effects, he might stop giving the vaccinations. But guess what? He's not allowed to have the information. He doesn't prescribe. And at least if your local doctor had to prescribe it, you could hopefully sue him. But actually, he'd wind up getting immunity under these two laws, too. So is it any surprise that the average American doesn't trust people that have an incentive to lie and are protected for lying? No.
Exactly. So, oh, my gosh, we're going to have to wrap this up. This is really a terrible thing. But people could check out all the other podcasts as well. When, where can they go?
Yeah, they should go to www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. Spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N. No spaces, no capitals, and it'll take you right to this program until we put on another program. But even after it takes you to our most recent program. You can scroll back and listen to all eight of Mark's previous programs and learn a lot that you would never be exposed to if you didn't do that. So podcast is free. It's just your time to listen. And you need to know the truth that lays just below the surface.
Wynn, thank you. And Neil, thank y'all.
You're welcome. Thanks again for stopping by.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, that was Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show.